co-regent. Belshazzar and his father are co-regent kings of this kingdom at this time. So here he sees this, and right away, and I would be shocked as well, he says his joints were loosed and his knees start knocking. You ever had that feeling when you're so afraid and you're sitting there like this? Yeah, well, that's exactly what happened. And he was so afraid, his countenance changed from eating and drinking and be merry to, you know, like this, shock. What's going on here? If I saw a hand writing on the wall today, I'd probably say, let's get out of here. Something's going on. You know, I'd be a little afraid. But nonetheless, that's what took place. And we have other times when God used his finger to do things. When the magicians in Egypt were convinced that God was dictating these plagues, especially when the lice came, it says, this is the finger of God. That's what they said. And remember, when God wrote the Ten Commandments, they were written by the finger of God. I believe this hand is the hand of God writing on the wall. And so here he's afraid, he's scared, he sees this, his countenance changed, his knees began to knock, he was terrified, so much so that he screamed or cried that he wanted his soothsayers and all those wise men to come and tell him the interpretation of the dream, or interpretation of the writing on the wall. And so then, remember this. Here's a man that's twice removed from, or once removed, I guess, the way, however that goes. He's two generations down from Nebuchadnezzar, and he doesn't know the God that Nebuchadnezzar met. And here he doesn't think about Daniel at all. In fact, he doesn't even know who Daniel is. That's how far he's gone. And today, application of that for us is, as we are raising our children, we want them to raise their children. When your grandchildren, my grandchildren, get to the point when they're growing up, we want them to know the God that we know. And so often that doesn't happen because our children drop the ball. And sometimes we drop the ball. And we don't want to do that. We don't want to be like this family or this situation. Here was a perfect opportunity. God had blessed Nebuchadnezzar, and yet he could have continued to bless them, but they were far removed from God. So he didn't know what to do. He couldn't read it. And remember, these guys could not read the handwriting on the wall. Why? It was probably in Arabic. They probably shouldn't have been able to read it. But why couldn't they read this? Do what? They weren't taught? Okay. Let's go one step further. That's right. This is God's message. And God's message, the lost do not know it. Turn your Bibles to 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 14 again. We're going to do this forever, I guess, but we need to keep doing this because it helps us to understand why people think the way they think. 1 Corinthians chapter 2. In 1 Corinthians chapter 2, it explains to us why those who do not know God do not know His words, do not understand His message, except for one message I believe the lost will understand. That is the message of salvation. That's the only message I believe they'll understand as a lost person. When they understand that, then through the Spirit of God, they will understand the Word of God. How do I know that? Well, the Bible teaches us. Look at verse 9. We're just going to read all down through this. We've done this many times, but let's do it again. But as it is written, eye hath not seen, nor ear heard, neither hath entered in the heart of man the things which God hath prepared for them that love him. It says, but. So now he's changing directions. This is a quote from the Old Testament. And he goes on, verse 10, says, but God hath revealed them unto us by his what? Spirit. So without the Spirit of God residing in that person, can they understand really fully the Word of God? I don't think so. In fact, I know so. He goes on and says, for the Spirit searcheth all things, yea, the deep things of God. For what man knoweth the things of a man save the spirit of man, which is in him? Now, what is he saying? He is comparing that as people, we know what's in us. Because that's who we are. We have the spirit of man living inside of us. So we know why we do what we do or how we act. We have that, we understand each other in that sense. But again, apart from the Spirit of God, we can't understand God, which is different from man. And so he goes on and says, even so, the things of God knoweth no man, but the Spirit of God. Now, we have received not the spirit of the world, but the Spirit which is of God, that we might know the things that are freely given to us of God. Which things also we speak, not in the words which man's wisdom teacheth, but which the Holy Ghost teacheth, comparing spiritual things with spiritual. Again, as we learn and study the Word of God, we're going to start talking about the Lord. We're going to start speaking about the things of God more so than maybe the things of the world. So often we get focused on the things of the world that we don't even mention the Lord's name. We don't even think about it. We need to be careful with that. And verse 14 says, but the natural man, this is talking about the lost, the man who's unsaved, the man who does not know God, receiveth not the things of the Spirit of God, for they are foolishness unto him, neither can he know them because they are spiritually discerned. So what he's telling us, as Paul is writing here, is the same thing that Belshazzar and his people, his soothsayers, his Chaldeans, his astrologers, are experiencing, and they have throughout the book of Daniel. We've seen this two other times, have we not? When there were dreams and nobody could interpret them, but who? Daniel. Where do the dreams come from? From God. And so again, it just reaffirms to us that without having the Spirit of God, it's going to be very difficult to understand the things of God. In fact, when I was lost, the things of God didn't make a lot of sense to me. It's all backwards from the way I would think. If someone punches me, I'm supposed to be a man and punch him back. That's not what the Bible teaches. But yet, that's the way man thinks. And so here we had these guys. Let's go back over to Daniel. They couldn't understand. They couldn't say anything about this. They were perplexed about the whole thing. And then, verse 10, someone comes in that remembers or knows Daniel. Who is it? Now the queen, this is his mother, okay? The queen, by reason of the words of the king and his lords, came into the banquet house. And the queen spake and said, O king, live forever. Let not thy thoughts be, trouble thee, nor let thy countenance be changed. She's saying, hey, look, you don't need to get so excited about this. Because there is somebody that can help us out. Verse 11, there is a man in thy kingdom in whom is the spirit of the holy gods. Now that's amazing to me. Because here, somebody in the kingdom still remembers Daniel. And Daniel was promoted to second command at one time under Nebuchadnezzar. You remember that, right? But somehow, some way, he's probably been moved out of that position. And Daniel is probably about 82 right now. It was 43 years when Nebuchadnezzar reigned. 23 here, that's 66. And if he was 16, that puts him at 82. I don't know how old he was when he's taken captive. But he's an old guy, okay? He's not as young as he used to be. All right? So they've forgotten about him except for the queen, the mother of Belshazzar. She knew. And she came in and says, there's a man of God. Now, that's exactly what we want in our lives, not because we want to be looked at as someone that's better than anybody else. We want it because we want to be the man or woman of God. We want to be the servants of the Most High God and follow Him and be led by Him. That's what Daniel did. And because of that, people looked at him different than they look at these other fellows. Instead of them saying, the soothsayers, the Chaldeans, and the astrologers, they didn't call them the man of God because they were not. They couldn't interpret anything. Even when Nebuchadnezzar would ask them early on, they couldn't. They had something set up. Maybe they had a book or something, and they could interpret things based on what they know from other people as the years have gone by. But they had nothing from God to actually reveal anything. Daniel did. He was the man of God. And now they didn't even understand this because it says, whom is the spirit of the holy gods? Little g. You see that? They're not referring to the Almighty God, even though that's who it is. They're still thinking of the many gods that they worship, the wood, the silver, the gold, and all those things. So here we see, he goes on, it says, in the days of thy father, light and understanding and wisdom, like the wisdom of the gods, was found in him, whom the king Nebuchadnezzar, thy father, the king, I say, thy father, made master of the magicians, astrologers, Chaldeans, and soothsayers. He's saying, he was smarter, and this is what their interpretation is, he was smarter than all those other people that the king called his wise man. Verse 12 says, for as much as an excellent spirit and knowledge and understanding and interpreting the dreams and showing of hard senses and dissolving of doubts were found in the same Daniel whom the king named Belshazzar, Might be an E in there too, huh? Now let Daniel be called, and he will show the interpretation. So here we see that somebody understands that Daniel was somebody special. He was different from everybody else. He knew God. He walked with God. And this was his testimony. This is what he did all his life. And we're going to see that farther on as we get through in the next chapter. Again, we're going to see that being reaffirmed, how Daniel trusted God. And it was always, in these situations, it was a life or death situation. Life or death. Every time. The first time when he ate the fruits that he ate, that could have been death. When he interpreted the dream, they were going to kill everybody. He interceded, and God revealed the dream to him. That was life or death. And so here's a man that's willing to serve God, put his life on the line in every case. And so we'll see more of that as we go on through the scriptures. So here's a man that was excellent spirit, had understanding, could interpret dreams, could dissolve doubts and those things. And the reason, again, Proverbs 3, 5, and 8, Daniel, trust in the Lord with all thine heart. Lean not unto thy own understanding. These weren't Daniel's understandings. These were things God gave Daniel. He says, in all thy ways acknowledge him. Daniel did that often. And you'll see that as well. And he shall direct thy paths. Be not wise in thine own eyes. Fear the Lord and depart from evil. It shall be health to thy navel and marrow to thy bones. So here we see this queen, she knew of Daniel. Now we see the writing's interpretation. Look at verse 13. Then was Daniel brought in before the king. And the king spake and said unto Daniel, art thou that Daniel which art the children of the captivity of Judah, whom the king my father brought out of Jewry? He had no idea who Daniel was. He was sitting there in the kingdom. He never bothered to check him out. He didn't know the history. And so he didn't know anything about it. He had nothing to do with God or God's people in that sense. So he had heard this from his mother. And so anyway, he's brought forward. Verse 14, I have even heard of thee that the spirit of the gods is in thee, and that light and understanding, our excellent wisdom, is found in thee. So his mother shared this with him. So he said, hey, look, I understand you can do these things. And now the wise men, the astrologers, have been brought in before me that they should read this writing and make known unto me the interpretation thereof. But they could not show the interpretation of the thing. And I have heard of thee that thou canst make interpretation and dissolve doubts. Now if thou canst read the writing and make known to me the interpretation thereof, thou shalt be clothed with scarlet, have a chain of gold about thy neck, and shalt be the third ruler in the kingdom. Then Daniel answered and said before the king, let thy gifts be to thyself, and give thy rewards to another. Yet I will read the writing unto the king, and make known to him the interpretation thereof. So here again, the king is desperate. He wants to know what's on the wall. He wants to know what this means. This is some miraculous event that's taken place. And of course, he's got 1,000 people there at this party, and you can imagine what they thought when they saw his face, his countenance, and his knees knocking. Here's the leader. Here's the king. And this guy is just scared to death. And so here Daniel says, I'll take care of it. I don't care anything about the promotion. I don't care about your necklace or your purple stuff. I'll share this with you, what God is trying to reveal to you. So he offered him a reward. He didn't really seek it, didn't care anything about it. But then he starts the next section by rebuking Belshazzar. Now listen to what he has to say. O thou king, the most high God gave Nebuchadnezzar thy father a kingdom and majesty and glory and honor. And for the majesty that he gave him, all people, nations, and languages trembled and feared before him, whom he would he slew, and whom he would he kept alive, and whom he would he set up, and whom he would he put down. But when his heart was lifted up, and his mind hardened in pride, he was disposed from his kingly throne, and they took his glory from him. And he was driven from the sons of men, and his heart was made like the beast, and his dwelling was with the wild asses. They fed him with grass like oxen, and his body was wet with the dew of heaven, till he knew that the Most High God ruled in the kingdom of men, and that he appointed over it whomsoever he will. And thou, his son, O Belshazzar, hast not humbled thine heart, though thou knewest all this, but hast lifted up thyself against the Lord of heaven, and they have brought the vessels of his house before thee, and thou and thy lords, thy wives, and thy concubines have drunk wine in them, and thou hast praised the gods of silver and gold, of brass, iron, wood, and stone, which see not, nor hear, nor know, and the God in whose hand breath is, and in whose are all thy ways hast thou not glorified. So here he's telling him that, and he's reminding him, actually he told him that you knew of what happened to your grandfather. You knew that this took place, yet you rejected it. Again, we know what God expects of us. And sometimes we do the same thing, do we not? We reject it. Now, we might not ever say, I'm not going to do what God says, but just by not doing it is rejecting it. Does that make sense? And that's what here we see is Belshazzar, he rejected what he knew about his grandfather. And so here, Daniel is rebuking him and saying, you knew all about this, and yet you chose to defile the God in heaven, the God that your grandfather knew, the God that brought him up from that point of being this wild beast. When he looked up and he praised God, God delivered the kingdom back in his hand, and yet you still chose not to follow him but ignore him. Verse 24 says, then was the part of the hand sent from him, and this writing was written. Again, can we see the grace of God in this? Can we see the mercy of God in this? This has been 23 years since Nebuchadnezzar. Okay? That's how long God gave these folks to look to him. There's grace there. There's the mercy of God there. God could have right away, after Nebuchadnezzar passed off and these other kings started doing, they killing each other, he could have right away said, that's it. But he didn't. He gave them time. And he gave them the opportunity to turn back to him. But they did not for these 23 years. All that time, he chose to profane God. And so here he gives the interpretation, and we're going to see this in verse 25 on down, and he's going to issue a judgment. And this judgment, again, is sure. There is no turning back. There's nothing that can be done. He has failed. It says, verse 25, and this is the writing that was written. Meeni, meeni, tekel, up Sharon. I probably didn't say that exactly right. Up Harrison. And so there's three different words there. The first two are the same. And basically what they mean is numbered, numbered, weighed, divided. That's what he said, okay? And that's what Daniel is going to share with him. Verse 26, this is the interpretation of the thing, meaning God hath numbered thy kingdom and finished it. Tekel, thou art weighed in the balances and art found wanting. Perez, thy kingdom is divided and given to the Medes and Persians. So he's telling them there, your days are numbered, they are weighed, and they are divided. In other words, this is it. This is the judgment. He had the opportunity, and yet he didn't take it. And so here in verse 29, it says, then commanded Belshazzar, and they clothed Daniel with scarlet, put a chain of gold about his neck, and made a proclamation concerning him that he should be the third ruler in the kingdom. Again, this is all of God, folks. It is God who does the exalting. And see, that's what God is looking for. And this dawned to me probably about 6 or 7 years ago. For a long time, I didn't get it. Didn't quite understand it because I've heard it so much and I've thought it myself. God's looking for leaders. God wants to find leaders. God is not looking for leaders. He's looking for followers. When we learn to follow, then he'll exalt and make the leaders. Does that make sense? And that's what God wants to do in all of our lives. He wants us to learn to be able to follow him. My sheep hear my voice and know me, right? And what do? Follow. So again, we see this has happened in Daniel's life. It is God who is promoting Daniel again. And this is, to me, it's just, it's such a miraculous thing that happens because Daniel is standing on the truth. He's not going to back down. He's not going to tell the people what they want to hear. Today, there's a lot of preachers in the pulpit that'll tell you what you want to hear. What do I want to hear when I come to church? God is good, I am great, and I love God, and He loves me, and let's go home and eat. There's so many people that want to hear something that feels good. And I think, I understand that. I really do. But if you come to church and you're practicing what the Bible teaches, you ought to feel good when you hear the Word of God. If you don't, then you ought to get right. That's the way it works. And so here, he stood on the principles of God. He's told him the Word of God, and yet he gets exalted through that. But then we see judgment executed. In verse 30, it says, in that night was Belshazzar, the king of Chaldeans, slain. What happened? How did these Medes and these Persians get into the city? Anybody know? I'm sure somebody knows here. Do what? Close. Diverted the river. When they diverted the river, then there was no water. They went in the north and the south. They snuck in. Why? There was no guards guarding anything because they were in the great walled city. They didn't need to. At least that's what they thought. Because they thought they were impregnable. I want to tell you something. Sometimes we get like that. We think we can stand and nothing can hurt us. But then you find out and go to the doctor all of a sudden. Whoa. Or maybe somehow I had a friend who had his money in the stock market back in the, I guess it was the late 90s or whatever. When it crashed, he had nothing. He was retired and then he had to go back to work. He made some bad investments. We don't know when something's going to happen. That's why we always need to put our faith and trust in the Lord and not what we can do in our abilities. So they came in and they killed him. And of course, Cyrus assaulted the city. And then verse 31 says, and Darius the Median took the kingdom, and being about 62 years old, he's 62 years old roughly, and he's starting to reign. And we're going to find more about that in the next chapter. Let's pray. Father, again, we do thank you for your word. We thank you for how you show us through the book of Daniel and through the different situations that these folks went through, and the faithfulness of Daniel and Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, and how you use them mightily in the ministry, even though their circumstances weren't the best. Even though they were held captive, Father, you still use these folks because they are willing to trust you in all matters. Father, help us do the same. We'll thank you for it now. In Jesus' name, amen.